want to know why or how teaching creates good leaders? Is that basically your question?
Yes, and the kind of influence that teachers have on the people who get on their students.
Okay.
Hold on just a second, just so that I'm clear. Is this a prelude to the actual interview you would be asking someone? I don't quite see how this question, help me out with this question.
Bob, can you say your question again? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I'm not seeing how this question would be a question that you would ask someone that you've identified about the handbook.
The teaching question?
Yeah, help me out. I don't see, you're to ask her like you would be talking to, like you'd be interviewing anybody about information for this handbook.
I wanted to know why she became a teacher, like why she wanted to become a teacher and why she thought it would help her society.
And what has that got to do with the handbook? Yes, I get her.
Ethan, why, how does that help?
How does that have to do with what you're trying to get for your handbook?
Because to me, a teacher is a leader, and I think that the more teachers we have, the more it can help make future leaders, and I wanted to know Mama's take on that.
Yeah, but I hear that, but I just want you to get that you got 30 minutes. You're wanting to have her respond to some of those 20 items, okay? All right? A responsibility and all those things like that. Okay, I'll let it be. I'm just saying right now that she can start talking about teaching and how important teaching is not the same thing as what is it to be a student leader and what are the characteristics of a good student leader and how does she see those characteristics working? I don't see your line of question leading to that.
Okay.
Your book is not about good teachers and whether they ought to be good teachers and whether teachers are leaders. That's not what the book is about. So, you know, it may be good background stuff. I'll leave it to you. She's having a difficulty. I'm going to get her back in, and you can go with it. And y'all can talk about it until she comes back in, what you think.
A good little special energy, like, I started mine reiterating what was in the letter, just reminding them what they agreed to talk on. And then I started with that. You know, how those things tie into being the leader or how we need those qualities to have the black people.
Mama.
Yes, Mama.
We had some technical difficulties. I've been changed to another desk and we're back on. Now you had asked me about teaching.
No, Mama. Nothing, go ahead.
But I think before I, you want to ask me, Baba said that teaching is not really an aspect of the 10 qualities you all want to be discussing. So you can ask me another question based on those 10 qualities, if that's okay.
Yes, okay.
You have the 10 that we're working with, right? Creativity, risk-taking, etc., etc.
Yes, I have those. First, Mama, I want to say thank you for taking the time for this interview. And I know that it's a little bit of work because I'm working on it myself. But I want to ask you a question about creativity and how you think it plays into becoming a leader.
Creativity. And how it plays into becoming a leader. Well, creativity is the ability to develop and see new things, new ways, how to take something and take nothing and make it something. Creativity is your gift from God. It means that you basically make things, atmospheres, items, make them from from yourself. You are the first person that figures in creativity. Being a leader will require you to be creative, because you're going to have to create relationships with other people, ways to relate to other people. You're going to have to find, you know, ways, create sometimes within yourself the will and the desire to do things that you may not particularly feel like doing or want to do. Also, there's an element of creativity that requires how you choose to deal with situations. When you think of creativity, initially you think of like making a painting or drawing a picture or playing music, creating a song. But all those things that I just listed are things that come from you out. So in your leadership quest, you have to be able to create ideas that will inspire people to follow you, if following is what you want. You have to be able to create new ways of doing old things, and you have to be able to create new things to get things done. So those to me are the aspects of creativity that go into being a good leader, an effective leader. But the core of that creativity is you, your intellect, your energy, and your spirit.
Okay, and Mama, in that you said that creativity is the ability to create ideas that inspire people. And there is something on the list that talks about influencing peers. And would you say that that's important, the ability, like you said, to create ideas that inspire people? Would you say that if you aren't able to influence peers, that it's going to downplay your ability to become a good leader?
Well, I don't see on the list influencing peers on the list for the 10 that we're working with. Have I made a mistake?
No, you haven't, but I think I might have gotten a different list that has 20. It's the last 10 are influencing peers, team building, resolving conflict, responsibility, risk-taking, reciprocity, sportsmanship, identity, balance, and order.
Okay, that's where the problem is. You all have taken 10 of those concepts, and that's the 10 that we're going to be working on until, you know, for this first part of the book. And let me give you that 10. I'm going to write it to you, okay? That'll help you with your questions, all right? Or
okay.
Safiya, don't you probably have it right at your fingertips, don't you, Safiya?
I have what at my fingertips?
You have the first 10 aspects for black leadership. Can you send that to Alma right now so that she can work on her interview?
Got it.
Okay, Alma, since you have it now, you know, why don't you try to revise your question based on the things that we have right now before us.
Mama, can you describe to me your idea of good character?
Good character. My idea of good character is developing two basic things, respect for yourself and respect for others. Now, within that first aspect of developing respect for yourself, there's a spiritual dimension that I feel a good leader must have, because in order to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. And anybody who thinks they're going to lead anybody anywhere has to realize that if they haven't been a good follower, they're not going to be able to lead anybody anywhere. But the question then becomes, well, who am I to follow? And the reality is that our leader is God. For each of us individually, within ourselves, our leader is God, or our higher power, or whatever anyone wants to call that higher entity within us. That's the true leader for every individual being. So, through your developing your relationship and understanding to God gives you the self-respect that you will need to be able to respect yourself. And once you have learned that, you then will turn to look at those around you with that same level of respect. So once you have that kind of respect, you're going to develop actions and ways of interacting with people, ways of looking and thinking about the things that you do and say that build or create one's character. And the word of God, and I'm a Bible person, so I'm going to use God a lot because he's in everything anyway. There's a passage in the Bible that says even a child is known by his doings, whether they be good or evil. That tells us that a character is created very early on in life. And how an entity, a being, chooses to develop its relationship to it themselves and others is almost an innate requirement. And that choice is what to me defines one's character. Now, okay. You can have a positive character, which, needless to say, you would anticipate someone with a positive character, i.e. respecting himself and others, will be a positive leader. And to the contrary, the ones who don't have that, have not developed that character, or have a negative character in that they don't respect themselves, they don't respect anyone else, but they can still also be leaders. But where are they going?
Okay, and Mama, you spoke to me about respect yourself. Do you think that identity would tie into that, that in order to respect yourself, you've got to know who you are?
Oh, there's no question about that. Now, identity is something that is not self-generated. When a newborn comes into this planet, it doesn't have an identity as such. Their identity develops based on outside influences. How the external outside responds to their need to eat, their hunger cries, their need to be clean, their need to be cuddled and to be nurtured. So your identity is based on how others relate to you initially. The first 6 years of one's life is spent developing your personality and your character and your identity. But I think the real solidification of that identity occurs over the next 4 years, from 6 to 10 or 11. By the time a child is 10 or 11, they're very clear about who they are with their mother and father, you know, how they rate and how they stand with their brothers and sisters, how they rate and how they stand with their peers, those around them. And also, are becoming very much aware of how they're seen and viewed and related to by the society around them.
And
Mama, that identity, and because it's basically based on external forces, you can change, you individually can change and alter your identity by adopting and adapting what you see and understand and the additional information that you will get that comes to you from outside of you.
And Mama, could you relate that to student leadership for me, how a student leader would need to know his or her own identity?
Well, I think knowing your identity is fundamental to a student or anybody else leading anyone. Because whatever it is you've chosen to lead, to be a leader of, is going to require it's going to require your assessment of where you need to go, because you're obviously leading people somewhere, where you need to go based on how you see yourself. In other words, when you have if you have an identity as a black person, you're not going to try to lead a Ku Klux Klan organization, because your identity just doesn't take you anywhere near that.
So you lead the people that we're like, and that who are like us. So basically, we have our identity, we know who we are, and are not going to lead.
Okay, hold on, folks. This is wonderful. I just want to let you also know that it's 12:16. And so if you want to continue, Amma, you'll need to negotiate that with your teacher there, Mama Santua, and Mama Ma'at here. And Safia, you are on your lunch. And what we need to do is, Amma, would you get back with me? I'm going to put my phone number in. I asked you last time, I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to need some extra time. And so I want to figure out when's a good time for us to put that in. So I'm going to put my telephone number in. I need you to drive it. If Mama Santua is busy, you ask her, and you figure out when you can talk to me and when we can do some other time. Now, I'm just putting a pin in this right now because it's Safia's lunchtime, and she was going to call me in terms of our agreement is 12:15, the class is over. I don't want to stop the interview. I want you to continue, and we're going to process this interview next time we talk. But I'm putting my link in the text chat. Please, I want to say I appreciate both of you, and I'm going to get ready to go to lunch.
Okay, Baba, one question. When you say process, now, do you want Amma to begin to write up her summary of this interview for the next class?
Yeah, there are two parts to it. First, the way we did it last time is to have her, and it would be great if she can stay an extra 15 minutes and you can stay an extra 15 minutes, that's cool. Anyway, to have her reflect on her experience of this interview, if not now, later on. And it would be good if she even called you and continued, so that it would be a 30 minutes. But the first part of the processing is her experience of it. Then the second part, if you remember last time, you gave feedback and you said what your experience of it was, and you said, Sophie, you drove it well. You gave her some specific reflections on that. That's the same thing, so that Amma is getting feedback and from us, and she's also reflecting herself first on the interview process and her style, skill, etc. Second, Amma, you are to take this interview and turn it into some writing as if this was your initial draft of something that would go into the book. Okay?
Okay.
It's mock. All right? All right. So let's just negotiate that right now. You want to continue, Amma? And if so, how long can you continue? So you need to check with Mama Santa about that. Ma'at, are you available to continue right now? If so, how long? If not, then y'all need to make another time.
I can continue to give Amma her 30 minutes, but like you said, it's up to her teacher And I think based on what we've done so far, she probably got about 15 more minutes of question and answer if she wants to take that.
Yes, Mama Taylor said I had till 12:30.
Okay. All right.
All right, and that gives us 10 minutes, and that's good time.
Okay, great. All right, y'all take care, and my telephone number is in the text chat. Give me a call later, all right? Bye now.
Go ahead, Mama.
Kwahiri, Safia. Okay, Amma, where did we leave off?
I think we were talking about leadership requires your assessment of where you need to go.
Okay, we were talking about identity, weren't we?
Yes.
That was in relation to identity, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, how you see and identify yourself? Is how what kind of leadership you're going to bring to those who you choose or who choose you to be their leader. For example, there's a song a hip hop song where he says, I'm a thug. You know that song I'm talking about?
No, but I'm pretty sure I've probably heard it or a bunch of them like that.
Right. You know, and like he has chosen for himself the identity that he's a thug.
Yeah,
and so his the way he's going to act, the way he's going to function, where he's going to go, what he's going to do, and how he affects or impacts his peers is all going to be about his identity that he has developed for himself, his self-declaration that he's a thug. And so in that same vein, for those of us who identify themselves as I'm a strong African warrior sister, I'm a positive African-American young lady, you're going to, when you establish that identity for yourself, because like I said, the first 10 years your identity is sort of foisted upon you, but to me, from the time you actually late elementary to high school, you can develop your own identity, and that to me is the responsibility of young people during those stages. And that's why I like high school so much, because to me, high school and junior high school are prime times for the practicing that Kuji Chagaliya, you know, self-determination.
Excuse me, Mom.
Sure.
You said developing the identity is. Can you say that line again, that developing it in high school is what?
I'm saying when you, to me, from junior high to high school is when one is able to develop their own identity, self-identity. The early years, your identity is created by what comes at you from external forces around you. But from junior high school to high school is when you can go into yourself and create your own identity based on where you want to be and what you want to do. And I was saying that's why I like high school, and I like working with students in high school and in junior high school, because that's the time when, no matter what your circumstances may be in your life, when you can make decisions and create the identity that you hope to and want to be and want to have.
And you said that in junior high school and high school, that's the best place to develop your identity, because it's before years, it's been forced upon you. And I was thinking about how sometimes that can be kind of, not risky, but some people, they just mold into what is around them in high school because it's like, it's a fad, it's what everybody else is doing. But then some people, they go in this direction, this African-centered direction that nobody seems to be following nowadays. And that, I think, to me, that would be considered risk-taking. Would you say that is risk-taking to go on your own bend to form your own identity? Because
yes.
risk-taking is one of the things on the list.
Yes. It is taking a risk, especially in those years that we're talking about, junior to senior high school, because you risk being outside of the peer group, which has suddenly become very important to a person. I think when you look at leaders, student leaders, they tend to be people who are not really, they're not really concerned so much about, that are taking the risk to be who they feel they should be, and are dealing with whatever consequences that decision has been, accepting the consequences as well as the perks and the responsibilities that come with choosing their identity, taking the risk that it may not be, you know, where everybody else is. And then you have some leaders, student leaders, who are fortunate because they're leading people where everybody wants to be. But even with that, they have an identity. They have identified themselves as being, you know, like, you know, the alpha male or the alpha female, and they conduct themselves in a way that is what is impressed upon those around them.
And Mama, what's your take on risk taking?
Risk taking is necessary. You've got to be, not only do you need to think out of the box, which is a form of risk taking, but you've got to be able to step out in places where no man has gone before, and taking the risk that it might work and it might not. One of the things that I think that we as African Americans have a built-in fear of is failure. We're afraid to fail because that sort of reinforces in our minds the stereotype that the dominant culture has about people of color, that, you know, you're dumb and you're stupid and you can't do anything. So when we take a risk and it fails, all those outside concepts of dumb, stupid, can't do anything, don't know anything, come back to us. Whereas, and the society punishes us too differently for taking risks and not being successful than they do their own who take risks and are not successful. Let me give you an example. We only got 2 more minutes, but I worked for, years ago when I was in high school, I worked for a guy who was a Jewish debt collector. His job was to collect debts from everybody who owed money to merchants and businessmen in Rochester, New York. That's where I grew up. And in talking with this man, I discovered that this was like his 5th or 6th business that he had ever had. And all the others had gone bankrupt or bellied up. But I couldn't believe. I was always wondering, how could he have had so many businesses? I mean, for many of us, if we fail one time in business, man, that's the end of it. We don't be trying to do that again. But on the other hand, a bankruptcy as seen by the dominant culture, someone who's bankrupt in business, who's white or Jewish, is going to get a different creditor response than a black person who's bankrupt in his business. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, because we are viewed as not, because we're negatively viewed by the dominant culture, and because we're impacted greater when we make mistakes than people in the dominant culture, we tend not to want to take risks and not to fail. And oftentimes that keeps you kind of stuck, because sometimes you just have to take a risk, and if you fail, it's okay. As the old folks used to say, nothing beats a failure but a try. At least you try. And you've learned in that trial, you've learned, and it can't be taken from you, and you can go, and that learning should take you up to the next level of where you need to be.
Okay, and there's some other things But it's 12:30. That was quick.
Yep, time flies when you're having fun. So they say. Now, let me ask you. So how was that for you?
That was only my second interview ever that I've ever done. And it was kind of nerve-wracking at first because I really didn't understand exactly what I was doing. But it got easier as I went along.
Okay. I think you did an excellent job for it be your second time doing one, first of all. And second of all,
thank you.
I like the way you would pick up on, you know, on comments and then segue into your next, you know, your next aspect, the goal that, you know, moved from one goal to the next by leapfrogging from the, what was put down in one conversation or one explanation or one discussion and moving it very easily to the next one. So you did an excellent job of that. And
you
didn't see, it didn't seem that hard at all.
Well, Mama, you were a great interviewee. It was nice asking you questions, and I understood a lot of it. It was easy to understand and easy to relate to.
Well, I appreciate. Okay, well, Safiya's gone. Okay, well, I'm going to. Why don't you write your appreciation? I'm going to write mine, and I will see you next Tuesday or next Thursday.
Next Tuesday.
Okay, I'll see you next Tuesday. All right.
Baba. Yes, I'm here. Great closure. It's fine. I'ma look for this recording at your Aya email address. Okay. There are a couple of. We just want to be clear. You're going to turn this into a piece of writing before next Tuesday and get that to us. And you will also have some assignments to read out narration and dialogue and narration, as well as details, a few other things around narration, and then also punctuating dialogue. Okay, so look for those for homework assignments as well.
And they're all in the email, Baba?
Yeah, also going to send you to the wiki page. You have logged into the wiki space, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, well, on the wiki space for this class, if you go to Sankofa Word, you'll see Communications for a Liberated Future, and then from that, you'll see the links here, and that can be your home space to go to. But you'll get a specific email with links for this recording and punctuating dialogue, as well as some work on narrative. Because some of what you're going to be doing is telling other people's stories. They're also going to be descriptive and expository stuff as well, okay? And I'm looking for a call from you, Mama Tewa, when we can get together.
Okay, Baba, can you give me the wiki page username and password again?
Yes. My guess is this. It's, let's see here. This. And that's what it should be. Let me just give it a try. Okay, that's supposed to be Okoto, not Ama Okota. So, my bad. Ama Okoto and password Ama 1 AKO. That should get you in, alright? Alright, you there? Ama?
Yes, and then you say click on what?
You see navigation menu, click on Sankofa Word.
Yes, I clicked on that.
Alright, then you'll see two links, Writing with Purpose and Communications for a Liberated Future. That's this class. See that? Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Baba.
Okay,
I am.
Okay, great. All right. You're doing the interviewing, note-taking, and you're going to be getting feedback, getting more feedback, and getting better with that. And we'll be giving you stuff. But then under narrative writing, just because you're going to be including some narrative writing, there's that narration PDF. We'll want you to begin to go through that. That's 23 pages. And then particularly grammar and punctuation, we right now want you to focus on punctuating dialogue. You read those, because Mama, you'll have an assignment to actually punctuate some dialogue that she's going to give you, but you'll be based on knowing those 12 rules. You may already know them. If so, it's just a quick review.
Baba Wakasa?
Yes.
You said after I go to writing, I click on writing with purpose, right?
Nope. No, that's the that's another class. This class is Communications for a Liberated Future, so just go back one.
Okay, I'm on that, Communications for a Liberated Future.
Okay, so if you come down, Communication Skills Areas to be Developed, Formal Letter Writing, Interviewing and Follow-Up Techniques, Interview Note Taking, Interview Technology. All right, now if you're going down to one that says Grammar and Punctuation, there are Punctuating Dialogue 12 Rules. Memorize them, because you're going to have some dialogue to punctuate, just as part of the practice, because you're going to have to do that in some of your writing. All right, so focus on that, number one, you're writing up this interview. Number two, you're focusing on punctuating dialogue. And number three, you're going to go into that narrative writing, but we'll get into that when you call me and when we figure out some extra time. All right?
Yes.
All righty, sister. Look for your call or for Mama Tewa's call. All right. Thank you, Mama. I am Ayamat. Appreciate it.
Okay, Kwaheri, everybody.
Kwaheri.
Kwaheri.